telling you, I was wearing these $600 custom-made leather shoes and this $13,000 Rolex when it happened. We've built our reputation on being a couple of bad apples from Chicago, being the strongest men in professional wrestling, and we ain't gonna let you or anybody else trying to ruin our reputation.
I don't need an introduction. Talent requires that talent provides talent, talent's own introduction. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen,
it's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Yeah! Feeling like Ric Flair today on a Thursday. What's up, Las Vegas? Welcome in. Mac Attack here on 920 The Game. I'm your host, Ryan McKinnell. As always, got our pal Magnum on the ones and twos across the way. And oh, Magnum, the streak is alive, my friend. The streak is alive. I cannot be stopped. I have never missed our showtime of 2 o'clock. But buddy, I was close today.
Yeah, I got the call about 1:50. It might be a little late. And nope. Somehow, some way.
Oh, man. Well, that's somehow, some way. Well, first of all, the reason, I mean, as you can probably imagine, if it's 1:50 and I'm calling Magnum and saying, hey, man, we got a problem, good chance I got pulled over. Now, what makes this so incredible? I want to preface this. First of all, yesterday, what was going on yesterday? Oh, the UNLV Lady Rebel game. I wasn't sure if there was going to be a preemption. You guys weren't sure if I was going to make it. I turned around the corner at 1:56. Jared's outside the door talking to you. He's like, yeah, I don't think he's going to make it. That was after he saw me. But you were worried. You were worried I wasn't going to make it. And I came around the door. I was like, Magnum, come on. It's been a year. Have I missed a show yet? And I haven't. I haven't missed a show yet. I've cut it close a couple times. But my hubris was in full swing. I was feeling myself. That's not it, though. That's not it. Just to add on to the ridiculous coincidences or, I don't know, messages from God that I'm choosing to ignore. Last night, I'm coming home, and some of you might have seen this on Twitter. I saw, not like nasty, it wasn't like an overturned wreck, but it was a pretty, you know, 3 or 4 car wreck on the 215 by the Sunset Airport exit when I was coming home around 5:30. And it was totally a product of someone not paying attention, as usually is the case, right? And it happened right next to me. I got glass and plastic chips all over my car. I had to dodge and get out of the way. Cofield was giving me crap on Twitter. You didn't stop.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, no, Steve, I didn't stop. I was going 75 miles an hour down the highway, and a wreck happened directly next to me. If I have to stop and, you know, pull off to the shoulder or take an exit or make a drastic move other than the one that I already made, I don't know the danger that I'm going to put someone in. I was already 500 feet from the accident a second after the accident happened. You know what I mean?
And you said that the area was over by the airport, so there's not a lot of options to get off and turn around and come back.
It was the 2 feet. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so that happens. I get some responses on Twitter. I think everyone was okay. I actually checked the traffic feed to see, and it didn't sound too serious. The response wasn't too serious. Anyway, that's not the point. One of my followers on Twitter chimed in. It was like, you're talking about terrible drivers in Vegas, and you were, you know, breaking the speed limit. That's because I said in the post I was going 75, and clearly the speed limit on the highway is 65.
Yes.
Right. And I saw this tweet early in the morning when I was getting ready to go to bed. So like 1:30 in the morning, I saw the tweet, and I was like, all right, I'm not going to respond to this right now. I'll wait.
I am long asleep by that time. Yeah,
I forgot to respond to that, Magnum, but I was going to respond, you idiot. 75 is not going over the speed limit. I literally do 75 every single day. I go, my base level is 10 miles over the speed limit just about wherever I'm at.
I'd be yelling and screaming at you if I was behind you.
What?
For driving. Oh, well, I guess it depends, right?
You'd be yelling and driving at me for going 75?
Depends what lane you're in.
Middle lane.
Okay, that's acceptable.
I would not go 75 in the left lane. That's okay. What you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, no, 70. The left lane's reserved for probably 80.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit faster, right?
I tend to drive some, and I probably shouldn't even be saying this, right? Because who knows who's listening, but I tend to drive in the left lane.
Yeah.
And I tend to drive a little bit over 75.
That's fine.
Now, I'm okay with people who are driving 75 in the left lane in between 75 and 80. I could live with that. The people who drive me nuts
70
are
68.
Well, it's when you're getting on the highway and you're supposed to accelerate because you are entering the highway and
they
instead
stay, and they stay at the 45 at the road that they were on previously.
Yes. And it's like, first of all, you are a hazard.
Yeah. True.
You are a danger to other people on the road because at some point you have to merge
in. They have to react when you merge at 50.
So if you are merging in at 50 miles an hour, someone behind you is going much faster than you, and you become a hazard at that point.
School of Rock edition of traffic school here.
Yes. The other one that kills me, and I'll stop. I have a kid. I take him to school sometimes. The speed limit in a school zone is 15 miles an hour. Please do not be that guy who's driving 10 miles an hour under the posted limit.
Of 15?
No, of 45 on a regular street. And then you maintain that 35 miles an hour through the school zone. You are a jackass if you are that person.
Okay.
And
well,
there's kids around. So, I drive fast, but I slow down in the school zone.
Yeah, I don't care about your kids, but I do drive slow. I do drive slow in the school zone, so I'm with you, buddy.
Plus, the ticket is double the price.
That's the reason why I drive extremely slow in school zones, and I'm being out in Green Valley. I'm surrounded by schools. So anyway, I was going to lambaste this fan and hit him with a, ha, 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 you dumb SOB. That's not a sailboat. That's a schooner. Right? Shout out Mallrats. And then what happens?
I got the reference.
Then what happens no sooner than 24 hours later? I get pulled over coming on the 215 to work today for the first time doing 75 in a 65. Cop even pulled up next to me on his motorcycle. And he's looking in my window, and I look back at him. I think nothing of it.
Well, you know what? There's even more irony in this.
More?
Do you remember the conversation that we had yesterday about how your wife tells you to be nice to people?
Yeah. Good point.
She was talking to you about being pulled over by police.
Yeah, she was. And you know what? I was very nice to this cop. I was very honest. He's like, did you not see me look in your window? I was like, no, I saw you. I was like, I thought we were going with the flow of traffic. He's like, yeah, no. That's not what was happening. That's not. You vastly misrepresented what was happening in this little story between you and I. Now, he didn't say that. I'm laying it on a little bit thick. But he was shocked that I didn't acknowledge him when he looked in my window. And like I said, I thought we were just keeping up with traffic. He's like, no, there was no one around us. That's a lie. Officer, if you're listening, you know there were people around us. I do want to say that. There were people. Magnum, I was going with the flow of traffic. It was 75 miles an hour on the 215.
Now
you know damn well 75 is not speeding.
I find it hard to believe that there would be nobody else around you on the 215
where they
are doing road work where it merges into.
At Tropicana.
Yeah. Where literally it becomes pinball because there are literally.
Magnum, there were cars all around us.
Yes.
There were cars all around us. There was a car. Probably four or five car lengths up in front of me. I was keeping a distance because the cop was next to me.
Yeah, you don't want to tell me.
I just didn't want to, like, slow down and brake and look like I was guilty. I didn't feel like I was guilty. I thought 75 in a 65 was a completely reasonable speed.
Oh, those people are bad, too, right? When they see the cop up ahead and they slow from 70 to 55, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, then you're admitting you're guilty.
Yes.
I'm just trying to go with the flow of traffic. Anyway, that didn't work too well. He's like, I clocked you at 75. I was like, actually, I was going 80. He's like, well, I appreciate the honesty. I was like, I go 75 every day. He's like, do you have any tickets? I was like, no. I was like, I never had a ticket in 12 years. Now, I've been pulled over before. But I like to think that my politeness and my honesty goes a long way. They don't want to hear that your sister's pregnant or your wife just went into labor or you got a job to get to. None of that. They don't care.
Yes.
Just say, I'm an idiot. I got caught. I saw you. I thought we were going with the flow of traffic. Whatever the truth is, tell them the truth. I told them the truth, and I got off with a warning. So there you go. PSA for the day. I'll save my boring stories for another time, but I just couldn't believe my hubris and the way it reared its ugly head. I should use this as a learning lesson because clearly this is not a coincidence. Yesterday, almost missing the show and being like, oh, what? Doing DX chops. Crotch chops. Coming in feeling myself, then leaving the show yesterday, talking about that wreck, and then I was going to go after that fan for saying I was only 10 miles over. Anyway, obviously, just the universe is trying to tell me something. I think it's time that I listen. All right, Magnum, let's get to the sports. JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel coming up in about 20 minutes. We are going to dive into the NFL playoffs and get his thoughts. And we'll talk a little Kirk Cousins because if you don't know, JVT, big, big Captain Kirk defender. So that should be fun. You know what? We're on a goofy angle. We're off the rails. Let's keep it going. I don't know where this audio came from. Magnum, do you know? Could you make out where this was from?
Well, it sounded very amateurish.
Well, yeah, it's high school.
It sounded like high school basketball. Yeah.
High school, maybe AAU. Although I don't know why there would be a broadcast. But you're an animal guy, right, Magnum?
I love animals, yes.
I'm an animal guy. I got my English bulldog, Pauly. He's 10 and a half. Hi, Pauly. I know you're not listening, but I love you. You good boy. I love animals. When my bulldog dies, there will be days off of this show. Like, that's a guarantee. I've lost animals before. You guys out there listening, I know you have as well. Everyone deals with it differently, but most people are pretty absolutely crushed. So I will be taking time off whenever that day happens. You know, I really should shut up. With the amount of jinxing that I've done to myself in the last 24 hours, I need to really watch what I'm saying.
Yes, yes, you should.
Now my palms are getting sweaty. I'm so sorry, Pauly. I'll be home soon, buddy boy. Don't get Final Destination by unlit candle or like a spinning. I think I unplug everything. Now I'm going to go back to a house in flames. Wonderful. Good job, Ryan. Idiot. Anyway. Point being, I love my animals. And if someone made light of my dog dying, well, I might have to kill him. I might have to just complete. I don't know. I can't be responsible for the reaction that I might have while I was mourning my dog. This is a high school game somewhere from some state where two broadcasters are doing a game. The conversation is loose. And one of the announcers tries to talk about the passing, the unceremonious passing of his beloved family pet while a huge moment in the game happens, and this is the result.
Well, and then there's one more, gone but not forgotten, and that's our sweet Lucy. At the age of 12, she was run over in our driveway.
Oh, like that? Was she run over like...
There was a gigantic dunk in the game, and his broadcast partner, as his broadcast partner was talking about the loss of his beloved Daisy at 12 years old getting run over in the driveway. Well, you heard it. Play it again.
Well, and then there's one more. One more gone, but not forgotten. And that's our sweet Lucy. At the age of 12, she was run over in our driveway.
Like that? Was she run over like?
I would murder that dude. I will tell you exactly how that conversation goes. I will tell you exactly how that happens if I'm in that situation. What'd you say? Take the headphones off.
I thought you were talking to me.
You literally grabbed at your headphones.
I was like, okay.
What's happening here?
I thought you were going to start cursing or something.
No. Yeah, get the dump button ready. Yeah. No, I would want to keep it as professional as possible. I'd be like, were you high? We're at a high school game, Jeff. My dog just died. I don't know if I can control my emotions. Flip side of that is, to play devil's advocate, if your dog just got ran over in the driveway, is that something you bring to a broadcast?
Well, here's the other thing.
Yo, if Pauly gets run over by the driveway, I'm just taking days off. I'm not coming back on the air and being like, guys, my 12-year-old dog got ran over in the driveway. What good does that do to a broadcast? So I don't know who to blame here.
Well, there's the other angle, too. First of all, obviously that was not the first pet that they were discussing being killed.
That's a good point.
Because he starts out by saying...
Also gone but not forgotten.
Yes. And then he kind of forgets the name of the dog. He goes, our beloved Daisy, Lucy.
That's a good point.
How many dogs has this guy had that got run over?
It was Puppy Armageddon.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe ASPCA. ASPCA may want to take a visit to his house.
We hit the Sarah McLachlan music. In the eyes of an angel. I actually heard a story.
What's funny? Steve Cofield probably would remember this because he's a Jersey Shore guy.
Yeah.
There was TV 34 in New Jersey, and that was like our local public access. They would show Monmouth University basketball. They'd show like high school basketball,
okay. All
sorts of short conference sports stuff. But then they had like other shows like Biker Billy Cooks with Fire, which was fantastic, by the way. So and Bob Ross, stuff like that. So they used to show this like to come adopt animals at the Monmouth and Ocean County shelters. And they would always show pictures of this dog or these dogs that are in the shelter.
No.
Do you know what song they used to play?
No. Uh-uh.
Addicted to Love by Robert Palmer. All I could think about was the girls with the slick back hair and their high heels and the tight dresses dancing with the instruments.
Oh, that's so great. Hey, I brought up that ASPCA song, the Sarah McLachlan song, the In the End. That one? Yeah, I'm not going to. Anyway, that one. So I'm New Year's at the Cosmopolitan with some family friends. It's the first time we've met them. The friends of a family friend's friends, okay? Some lawyer on the East Coast. And somehow that conversation, that song got brought up, the ASPCA Sarah McLachlan song, whatever it is.
Oh, jeez.
And the lady, the girl that I was talking to, she's like, oh, I just saw her like 3 weeks ago back in New York at a charity fundraiser benefit. I'm like, yeah? She's like, yeah, she played that song and it was really sad. And I just was like, wait a minute. Is that like her Enter Sandman? Is that like her Welcome to the Jungle? Like whenever you go see Sarah McLachlan or whoever that artist is, like they got to play the sad ass ASPCA song?
Well, she has a couple of other hits.
Right. But I'm saying when that's your Enter Sandman, oh.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, like
imagine like that's the song you are forced to play. It's not Gin and Juice if you're Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not Enter Sandman if you're Metallica. It's not, you know, The Thunder Rolls if you're Garth Brooks.
Oh, God. You mean Friends in High Places?
Yeah, Friends in High Places, whatever. Friends in Low Places, whatever, right? Right? It's that song. It is the biggest bummer. Come down, just make you want to. Like, how many people do you think leave, especially if that's the last song?
Well,
like,
that's
if that's her closer?
Well, you know, it's funny. Like, I can't stand the song Beth by Kiss.
Okay.
Like, I think it's one of the worst songs. It is the worst Kiss song. But it's a popular song. Now, I'm obviously in the minority. So when I took my son to see Kiss last February, he wanted to buy a T-shirt. I saw the set list beforehand.
You saw Beth was on there.
I saw Beth was in the encore. I said, all right, buddy, we're going to go get the T-shirt when they start playing Beth. And sure enough, they go off stage. You come out, you see the piano. I'm like, all right, let's go get your T-shirt.
Look at you. What a good father.
Yes.
What a good father.
And he knew it. He knew it was coming. He's like, yeah, I don't like that song either.
Well, speaking of good fathers, this media member in Minnesota, I don't know if he had any parents whatsoever.
He was raised by jackals.
You know the story I'm talking about.
Yes, then. I do. Yes.
So, Kyle Rudolph, Minnesota Vikings.
He's a hero.
He is a hero. Not Kirk Cousins.
No, it's Kyle Rudolph,
it's Kyle Rudolph
and the push-off.
Yes.
We'll go down in Minnesota sports lore as
correct
a defining moment for the Vikings.
Huge moment for the Vikings. If they go on to win the Super Bowl, it becomes even bigger.
The push-off becomes an iconic moment
sure
in sports.
Right. Kyle Rudolph, big reason for that. Kyle Rudolph was wearing gloves when he caught that infamous touchdown from Kirk Cousins. Well, those gloves that Kyle Rudolph was wearing were handed off to a media member after the game, in the locker room. That media member, who I believe is yet to be unnamed, or let me rephrase that media member who is yet to be named, punched myself in the face.
Do I need to bust out the Sarah McLachlan song?
Calm me down. Bring my mood down a little bit.
It's okay, man.
I am riding high after that cop. Thank you, officer.
It's okay.
So, Kyle Rudolph's in the locker room after the game, and a media member comes up to Kyle Rudolph and says, hey, can I have your gloves? We're doing this charity. I'd like to donate them to charity. I'd like for your gloves to be a part of this charity. Not only that, Kyle Rudolph agrees. Kyle Rudolph is over the moon to help. Not only that, he signs the glove for the media member to auction off for charity. Yeah, that charity, though, media member's pockets. That media member, as I said, yet to be named, at least as far as I know, sold the gloves on eBay. He sold the gloves on eBay. A Twitter user pointed out to Kyle Rudolph, said at Kyle Rudolph 82, as Nate Boss did, was tweeting at him. You probably already heard this, but looks like someone sold your gloves from the Saints playoff game on eBay already. Hope they didn't deceive you for a quick buck. And then there is a screenshot. Someone got a good deal, I would say, especially if the Vikings end up winning the Super Bowl. $375, game used, game signed, Kyle Rudolph jersey, gloves. $375, one bid. Kyle Rudolph responded, I saw this. It's disappointing.
And then he tells the story, a member of the media in the locker room after the game asked if he could have my gloves for a charity benefit. So I said, of course, and I will even sign them for you. Well, he got me. Sold on eBay 3 days later.
There's a lot wrong with that.
That's an understatement.
Like, you and I mean, you cover MMA. You know etiquette in the locker room. I'm in the locker room for the Golden Knights. I've done Team USA basketball. Yeah. I mean, we between the two of us, we have been in locker rooms.
You don't take pictures?
Nope.
You don't take gifts? You don't give gifts?
Nope.
You don't really have a personal – it is your job to not have a personal relationship of any sorts with the players because in an extreme case, Aaron Hernandez.
Yes.
In an extreme case, Antonio Brown. In an extreme case, something salacious or horrible could happen with that player.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to report fairly on that player. And you cannot have any sort of relationship with that player. Now, that line is walked. We will acknowledge that. Brad Windhorst, there are plenty of people in the media that I think have probably too close of a relationship with their sources, but I don't know. I can't really comment on it because I don't know their relationships, but it just seems like those people are a little too close to the athletes they cover. Like, they have their guy
yes.
that they ride to fame in a lot of
you
cases.
You mentioned Windhorst. I mean, yeah, he is LeBron James.
Yes,
I mean,
he is
the guy.
Yep. And he has been with LeBron for a very long time.
Basically day one.
Yeah, from basically day one. And it's a guy LeBron trusts, and that's fine.
And you know what? And good for him
yes,
for having
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. It's not sour grapes on my end. It's just when people are that close, I wonder
like if LeBron,
how professional it is.
I mean, I don't want to even...
Just use China.
Yes.
How critical was Windhorst on China?
He didn't say a word.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, but I'm just saying. I hope he hammered him like everyone else was hammering LeBron.
Because
he's your buddy and you don't want to limit access to him. And therein lies the problem. Again, I don't know how Windhorst reacted to that situation, but again, therein lies the problem. But that's beside the point really with this conversation because this is above and beyond anything I've ever heard in any locker room. Like, I've heard of dumb stuff. I've heard of media members asking for personal autographs. I've heard of pictures and stuff like that. That's horrible.
Yes.
And you should be reprimanded and potentially even lose your job. This is unquestionable. When we find out who did this, and I'm sure Minnesota knows probably, I mean, media talks,
well,
and I'm sure
Rudolph,
other people saw that.
Rudolph came out again and said he didn't know who this guy was. He hadn't seen him before.
Yeah.
So
it could have been those games are weird.
It could have been a member of the Saints.
Right. Well, not even that. The playoffs are weird. Like those big events, like big events in hockey.
Stanley Cup. Like we went from probably 15, 20 people in the locker room to 150.
Right. It's a completely different ballgame. Like
it's lunacy.
Right. McGregor comes 10 days from now. Right. That is going to be a completely different fight week for combat sports media as opposed to almost any other week. Right. So I acknowledge that there's going to be a little bit. So that could be a hanger on. It could be a blogger. It could be someone. Point being is that person needs to be exposed, and that person can never, ever, ever, ever cover the NFL again. And I'm even the NFL. Their career is over.
It should be.
It should. It's a mistake that I do believe in second chances. This is so egregious and unforgivable. Unless there is something I'm missing. Unless that money was immediately donated to the charity and they wanted to donate the cash and not the gloves, but I don't even know if that was said that I would believe that. But there is a happy ending to this story. There is.
Yes.
There is. The man who bought the gloves.
Oh, I did see this.
Jason King. He is Kingy1940 on Twitter. Actually reached out to Kyle Rudolph in this exact thread. Remember I mentioned Kyle Rudolph responded to the screen grab, right? Well, Jason King hit up Kyle Rudolph and said, I'm the guy who bought them. I will gladly donate to a charity of your choice.
And it was Minnesota. Was it Minnesota Children's Hospital?
Well, that is the response from Kyle Rudolph. Kyle Rudolph said, hey, Jason, really cool of you to do this. University of Minnesota's Children's Hospital will greatly appreciate it. And I will make sure to get you my pair from this weekend's game.
That's pretty awesome.
It is. It is. And that is, we rail and dog on social media a lot. All right. That is one of the examples where social media wins. So props to Jason King because he didn't need to do that. I don't know. I mean, I would hope I would do the same thing. You know what I mean? But you just got game used, game signed gloves authenticated for $375 from your team, and they might end up winning the Super Bowl. And if that's the case, those gloves skyrocket in value.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice story with a nice ending.
Well,
the capstone on that story, Magnum, will be that reporter getting fired.
Yeah. No, I like how. The guy who won, he's keeping the gloves, but he's also going to donate money out of his own pocket to the charity, which is, I think it's a win-win for him, right? I mean, he keeps the gloves. He obviously has become a hero in the eyes of many for being just a stand-up good guy. And I'm trying to think because it kind of got buried a little bit, but do you remember when Tom Brady's jersey was stolen?
I do. That's right. Wasn't that a Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was after a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
After they beat Atlanta, I think.
I think you're right.
I don't remember what happened to the guy who stole his jersey because I know they found it and they caught him.
And it was a media member, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
And I don't remember what happened. Now that's obviously, I don't know. I think what this guy did with the gloves
is
worse.
Right, it's a lie.
Because he went to Rudolph and told him, hey, like he conned Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, it's much better to just steal it. I know that sounds crazy.
I know, but I mean, honestly.
I mean, if you're going to be a dirtbag all the way.
Yes,
Don't double down on the dirtbag.
Yes, don't exactly.
All right, speaking of dirtbags, I don't know how we feel about this. John Beilein, new coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, former coach of the Michigan Wolverines, by all accounts, a really good guy, seems to be liked by just about everyone. He's in a bit of controversy. He was in a film session with his Cleveland Cavaliers a couple days ago. He was talking about their effort, and he referred to them as a bunch of thugs. Now, you can probably imagine that did not go over well in the Cleveland Cavaliers locker room. We know that terminology, you know, you thugs and it's a very dangerous line to walk because there are racial implications to it. And I think similar things happened with LeBron James or when Phil Jackson called him a posse. It's like, and Phil was his reputation preceded himself and he was mostly okay. And I think that's what we're dealing with John Beilein. It's not good. It's not good. This was the post from Adrian Wojnarowski. After studying players in a film session with a verbal suggestion that they were no longer playing like a bunch of thugs, Cavaliers coach John Beilein reached out individually to players tonight to insist he meant to use the word slugs. Today, coach met with the team in what was described as an emotional apology prior to shoot-around in Detroit. He's coaching the Cavaliers tonight and franchise plans to continue with him on the job. I think you give him the benefit of the doubt here.
Yeah, I want to believe John Beilein just because he doesn't exactly have a track record of controversy.
He has no track record,
right? Like you go back to his days. I think he was at. He then went to West Virginia. He went to obviously Michigan, had a fantastic run at the University of Michigan. You never heard anything negative about this guy.
Right.
Up until this one comment, which, you know, he's saying is a slip.
Yeah, I don't necessarily believe it's a slip.
No, but...
But I do believe that he's not any sort of prejudice or racist just because there is no track record. And the fact that... I don't know. It's an easy word to confuse. He's an older guy.
But the thing is, I feel like... If there was more to this and more about him, we would have heard something by now because he's been in the game long enough to where if he had a track record of saying ridiculous, disgusting things, we would probably know. Yeah. Now maybe we don't, and maybe this is the kind of opening.
The vessel. The
crack in the Titanic that blows open the whole ship and then it sinks. But I'd like to believe that that's not the case.
Yeah, I do too. And I would imagine when someone says it was an emotional apology, I imagine there were tears, and I imagine Beilein knowing the seriousness. I mean, this was a headline grabber. People were like, "What? What?" You know, especially in the NBA, and it's just it's a bad look. But I think Beilein did what he needed to do. He met the issue head on. It sounds like he made his amends and his apologies, and I would imagine he did it pretty quickly after he made the slip up as well. So you give Beilein the benefit of the doubt. If it happens again, then I guess everyone reassesses. The Cavaliers reassess, and
If it happens again, he's out.
Yeah,
you can't give him another chance after that.
Right. So tough day for Coach John Beilein. We will talk a little bit more with get JVT's thoughts. Jonathan Von Tobel coming up next. Get his thoughts on John Beilein. And we are going to delve deep into the playoffs this week. And we'll take a look at lines. We'll get thoughts from JVT on Kirk Cousins. Can he do it again? I don't think so. John probably does. We'll talk about it next. You're on the Mac Attack.
You're listening to the Mac Attack.
All right, Vegas, if you want your chance to win another family four-pack to go out there and see Disney on Ice, stick around. We've been giving them away all week. We're going to give them away around today, and we're going to tell you how coming up right before the next break. A guy who, well, I don't know if he could use the four-pack, but he could definitely use the three-pack. Relatively new daddy. He's the host of The Edge over there on VSiN. You can hear him here at 920. The Game is a part of the Better Network. You know him. You love him. It's JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel. What's up, JVT? You there, John?
Wait, there we go.
There we go.
Hit mute on accident. You cut out. What tickets are you giving away?
Giving away Disney on Ice tickets, JVT.
I'm okay. I have a strict, like, I'm not taking him to public events until he's about five. I'm like, so his mom can do it, but I'm not doing it.
Well, good thing. I wasn't giving them to you anyway. So they're for the listeners. Yeah. Scoundrel.
I'll take them, though.
John, I don't even know if they'd let you in the building with what I saw you wearing last night. I take a lot of flack around this station for wearing sandals, but then I see you last night celebrating Kirk Cousins, shuffling around the studio in your socks and sandals. You're a madman.
Well, there's the socks and slides, so I think you got to get a little bit younger. Socks and slides are an acceptable combination. Socks and sandals are different things.
Semantics, John, semantics. One thing that cannot be debated is Kirk Cousins had a really good game over the weekend, highlighted by a superb pass to Adam Thielen, and then, an offensive pass interference and the fact that Drew Brees didn't get the ball back sealed the deal for the Vikings. But, John, a great win nonetheless. Still, John, it's one really good win for Kirk Cousins pretty much in his career, yet you want to anoint him? I don't know. We haven't had this conversation yet. I really don't know how much you believe in Kirk Cousins. So I guess I'll just ask you this. Is this a Super Bowl winning quarterback? Can you see the Vikings going all the way?
I mean, yeah, I could see the Vikings going all the way. And I don't want to anoint him anything. My whole crusade with Kirk Cousins has been the same thing every time. He is a good quarterback. And if you have a team that does not have a good quarterback, like the Indianapolis Colts, for example, I thought Jacoby Brissett wasn't going to be there, was going to be much better than he was.
Okay.
Right? I would take Kirk Cousins any day. And in a league where quarterback play is important, if you have a team that you're a fan of that has a struggling quarterback, if you were to tell me straight to my face you wouldn't take Kirk Cousins if he was available to you, then I think you're foolish. And that's been my whole crusade with him. People act like that he's this abominable quarterback. And I've brought this example up to you multiple times, I think, when you have me on. Going into this year, everyone thought Phillip Rivers was amazing. Going into this year, since he's become a full-time starter, Kirk Cousins had the better record and the better numbers. So it's like it's amazing to me, just this sliding scale we have with quarterbacks. And my crusade has always been the same. He's a good quarterback. He's not better than Tom Brady or anything, okay, but he's like a top 15 quarterback. And if you have the right pieces, you could totally win the Super Bowl with him.
And here's my crusade, John. He's making $28 million. So if I'm the Chicago Bears, who definitely need a quarterback, there is no way in hell I'm paying Kirk Cousins $28 million for 3 years.
But that's the thing. But that's the market for quarterbacks. Like, it's not his fault he plays a position that is at a premium.
I agree.
Like, if you want to sit there and complain, okay, go ahead and keep drafting guys like Mitch Trubisky and see if he can work out or whatever. The Vikings saw the writing on the wall and said, screw this. We're not going to develop anybody. We have a team that can win now. Let's go get a guy that if we load him up with a great offensive scheme, an awesome running game, two running backs are that are the best in the league almost at this point as a duo, then we're going to be going far. We're going to be going far, and they are.
Well, I do agree with you. It's not Kirk Cousins' fault. He's getting $28 million. I'd take the bag as well, but I do think it's an indictment on people reaching and hoping and praying. I honestly would take a chance with not a Mitch Trubisky, but I would try and draft a quarterback, especially when you look at the last couple years of quarterbacks. But, again, not his fault. Not his fault. Much in the same vein that it's not Mitch Trubisky's fault that Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes were drafted after him, but that label is always going to follow him. That $28 million price tag is always going to follow Kirk Cousins, and it leads to lofty expectations. Now, those expectations, John, I don't know what they are heading into this game this weekend against the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, I know that, or the Santa Clara 49ers, I know that they're a 7-point dog. So on that regard, you know, the public now the public is at open at 7, it's staying at 7. So the Sharps and the public are thinking it's about a touchdown advantage to the 49ers at home. You know, oddly, John, with as much as I don't really believe in Kirk Cousins or really this Minnesota Vikings team, they are playing really good football at this point in the season. They're a veteran team for the most part. I like Minnesota in this spot, at least in terms of the points and getting the touchdown. What do you think?
Well, I bet Minnesota +7. I like them a lot. I'm just okay. I'm rolling again. I took 8 last week, and I'm going to do it. Like this Minnesota team, fits a really good profile. They're just they're a team that has a very solid front seven, that plays good defense and can run the ball extremely well and is not overly reliant on their quarterback, who people don't really like at all. But I just think it's the matchup, too. Like, San Francisco, it's interesting. They're kind of like the Ravens defensively in that they're great against the pass, but actually some of their metrics don't pan out very well against the run. They're still top 10. They're 11th right now against the run. But if you look at a couple of the other numbers in terms of their defense, the last few weeks, San Francisco has been giving up quite a few point totals. My computer's not loaded. I got to pull this up. But as I blather away, I just think it's a good number, and I think it's a very good matchup for Minnesota. And they're a good team, man, and I think it's hard to lay seven in the divisional round.
I couldn't agree more. And again, I'm not particularly high on the Vikings. I actually won a bet with Cofield last year under the season win total. I've never really been particularly high on the Vikings. So I constantly count them out. But in this situation, it's hard to ignore, as you just talked about, the football that they're playing right now. And you look at that Cardinals game against the Niners. There's just all sorts of examples where you're just like, I don't know. I believe that the San Francisco 49ers are a good team, but 7 points against a team like the Vikings, that is relatively a diverse team, as you highlighted, JVT. Let me ask you this. Adam Thielen, questionable for the game against the Niners. How worried are you about that in terms of your bet?
I really want him out there. He was as great, you know, as solid as Kirk Cousins was over the weekend. Thielen made some fantastic catches after making that, or after fumbling that ball in the first drive. Quite a few going to the ground, balls are away that he really saved with his athleticism. So I think it's massive if he's going to be healthy. And it sounds like if you read between the lines, he's going to play. It's just getting some stitches, and maybe he took a cleat or something for what it sounds like, and he just split it open. So I'm not insanely worried just reading between the lines, but he's obviously really important. And by the way, really quickly, the last 5 weeks, the numbers I was trying to get to, they lost that game to the Baltimore Ravens, gave up 20 points to San Francisco, 46 to the New Orleans Saints, 30 to the Falcons, 31 to the Rams, and then remember had to turn away the Seahawks on a final drive on Sunday Night Football. So the defense has kind of regressed over the last 5 weeks, which also gives you some hope if you like Minnesota.
Yeah, what about the total? It opened at 46. It's been bet down to 44 in some places. Not a huge swing, but that's honestly 43-44 was right about where I think this game is going to land. So it's interesting. I really never chase the over in any of these games, JVT. Do you like the total in this game at all either way?
I don't really like it. I will say this. I think this is one of those, like, if you like Minnesota, I wouldn't really want to bet this over. Like, if you're Minnesota, you don't want this to be a shootout.
Right.
You want to make sure that your offense is just turning at a good pace. Time of possession is up. Dalvin Cook and Madison are actually extending drives for you. And they're actually really good at hitting big plays, Minnesota is. Obviously, we know about what happened in the first drive of overtime. So they can score in bunches if they need to, but I think that they don't want to. And so that's why when I like Minnesota here, I'd be hesitant to play it over the total.
I like it. I like it. All right. Speaking of liking it, John, we're here with Jonathan Von Tobel. I know this is the biggest game in terms of point spread. At least it opened that way, and it's pretty much stayed that way. It's tied with the Houston-Kansas City game. But I'm talking about Tennessee and Baltimore, John. Baltimore, I think, is the best team in the NFL, but I think the Tennessee Titans are playing the best football in the NFL right now. So for me, this matchup is insanely intriguing. It's got a great story on the other side of the ball, the away team with Ryan Tannehill and this Tennessee Titans team and Derrick Henry just running roughshod over seemingly every line that he plays against. And then I don't think I really need to mention squad about the Baltimore Ravens. They are electric. So what do you think about this game?
Yeah, I think this is the one game where my thoughts are the chalkiest. I like the Ravens, and I think I like this over the total as well. And the thing about Tennessee Brian Tannehill has been great. Like, don't get me wrong, he's been absolutely fantastic in the regular season.
Yeah.
But they get a lot of credit for winning that game against New England. However, the way New England played defense was they told them, they're like, Tannehill's not going to do anything. You're just going to have to run the ball. And granted, it worked, but they only got 14 points out of it against New England. Like, if the Patriots have any semblance of offense, then they're actually probably going to win that game. If Edelman catches that pass, we don't know what happens the rest of the game. So I would say with the Titans, it was a good win, but I think they're up against with Baltimore. Now, Baltimore's two losses this year, this is the one thing that worries you, Kansas City and Cleveland gave up a combined 333 yards on the ground, and that was like all the way back to the beginning of the year. But it is troublesome that the two games in which they looked their worst, the two teams that they played, had really good running attacks that day. So that just leads me to go over the total, though. I don't think they have any chance of stopping Baltimore's offense, and I don't think offensively the Titans are that skilled.
All right, it's a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How impressed have you been with Derrick Henry? I know you don't think he can get it done in this game, but just the season, just the regular season, what he was able to do in a place that really didn't have a lot of expectations for him.
Well, he's great.
The team, the expectations for the team this season.
The expectations for the Titans?
Yeah.
I was saying,
how impressed were you with Derrick Henry, given the expectations for this team this season with Mariota, and then when the chaos and the way everything played out, he was their North Star, John. He was their constant. I was just very impressed with Derrick this year.
you should be. He was great, and like I just like watching the guy play. Period.
Yeah.
Like it's so weird. Like to me, he seems to run kind of upright, but he still has so much power, and he's so hard to bring down. And what's more impressive is not only the physicality. But he's also a dude that regularly breaks like 75 to 80 yard runs. So he's got this great mix of like size and power and also grace. Like it's ridiculous. No, he's been fantastic, and he's been a big reason why they've turned. He's a big reason why Tannehill is as efficient as he is.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. So we kind of acknowledge that Minnesota and San Francisco most likely isn't going to be a shootout. But then you flip ahead to Sunday and you look at the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't ever know what to get with the Texans and Deshaun Watson. I feel like they're definitely a second half team. Just when the first half starts, I just never know what I'm going to get with their quarterback in Houston. Flip side, Kansas City, good this year, really good at different spots, but not as good as I think a lot of people were predicting. This line's a wide one, John. 9.5. Kansas City laying 9.5. You think Houston can overcome it?
This one, in terms of the spread, I'm not entirely as sure on as I am a couple of the others. Like, Houston's weird. Like, sometimes they got lucky to win that game against Buffalo. They probably should have lost that game. Josh Allen doesn't have like the worst choke job I've ever seen on the field for a quarterback.
I know.
That was amazing. they probably go on and they win that game. Buffalo does. So that does worry you a little bit. But at the same time, like sometimes you need that in instances where you're going on some of these runs with Houston. Now, having said that, Kansas City, I think, is very underrated. I think their season has been kind of quiet because of Patrick Mahomes' injury.
Right.
Who knows what happens if he doesn't miss that time, and it wasn't a lot. And defensively, they've gotten a little bit better. Now, it worries you that their last four opponents have been the Patriots, the Broncos, the Bears, and the Chargers, not exactly world beaters on offense. So I have pause with the defense, but Patrick Mahomes is still Patrick Mahomes, and he's still the best quarterback in the AFC. And I find it hard that they're going to have trouble with Houston, at least in just advancing and winning the game outright.
All right, what about the NFC game on Sunday night? Aaron Rodgers taking on Russell Wilson, the Green Bay Packers against the Seattle Seahawks. I think Seahawks at different points, John, have been a case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And honestly, I feel the same way about Green Bay. I think a big conversation piece right now surrounding the Packers is just how effective is Aaron Rodgers and how much of that playoff spunk does that man have left? So I'll ask you, what is your confidence level in number 12, Aaron Rodgers?
It's not even just Aaron Rodgers. It's like the whole offense.
Yeah.
So one of the interesting things that I looked up when I was getting ready for like some of these games this weekend, Green Bay is eighth in the NFL in terms of punts per game. They average 5 punts per game. And, this is a team offensively that when I've watched them, you're like, they're inconsistent. And you see it with the numbers in which they're forced to punt a lot. And some of the teams that they rank around are like Washington, Jacksonville. Like these are offenses that have no consistency. So you don't want to be there. And that's what my problem is with Green Bay. Defensively, they're like bend but don't break. They give it like 30 yards per drive, which is not good. They're an okay team, but some of the metrics tell you they're one of the worst 13-3 teams there are. And that's why I don't really believe in the big picture. As far as this game, I have no idea what's going to happen. Both of these teams are ridiculous in terms of the way they can win these close games.
Yeah. I agree. Do you like the total at all? It's at 47.
I think it'd probably be, it screams like an under game, right? Inconsistent offense for Green Bay. Seattle offensively has their own inconsistencies at times, and they like to run the ball, which means that it's going to be kind of a grinded out, long, drawn out drives kind of deal. We're punting and barely taking time off, but no efficient offense. So I guess under. It's got like a 17-8 kind of deal around, like last week.
And it's in Lambeau in the winter.
Yeah, you know, it's just got the feel. There's no stats behind it. It's just got the feel.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that is Jonathan Von Tobel, JVT. He is the host of The Edge over there on VSiN, and you can hear him here on 920 The Game as a part of the Better Network. John, we appreciate it, buddy. Enjoy the games. If I could speak, enjoy the games these weekend, pal. All right?
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
All right. John enjoyed my tongue-twisting faux pas there. It's a long day. I got pulled over by the cop. I got sweaty palms. I got the law after me. I appreciate you, Vegas. All right, I said I was going to give away a family four-pack to Disney on Ice. And that is exactly what I'm going to do. 365-9200, 365-9200. You can get your chance to go down there and hang with Mickey and his friends as a part of the Disney on Ice show. All you got to do, it's real easy. 365-9200. Be the fourth caller. Real easy. No trivia, nothing. Fourth caller, 365-9200. You're going to see Disney on Ice. This is a Mac and Tech.
You're listening to the Mac Attack.
Congrats to listener Jonathan going out there to see Disney on Ice with that family four pack. We'll have another giveaway tomorrow. I'm going to be honest, I didn't think of a trivia question today. That's why there wasn't a trivia question. So you're welcome, Jonathan. Gonna make it a little harder tomorrow, but we got another family four pack to give away tomorrow to Disney on Ice. Speaking of being on ice, Vegas Golden Knights back at the Fortress tonight. Magnum taking on the, I would say the hated Los Angeles Kings, but after year one of that playoff run, these dudes just can't win a game. So it's really, it's against the sorry, lonely, sad Los Angeles Kings.
Yeah, the Kings,
you better win.
They're coming off a loss in a game they played pretty well, actually, against the Dallas Stars last night.
Yeah.
But second night of a back-to-back, they have to travel. Not sure how they're going to play. Lately, Vegas has had their number, but this is one of the few teams in the Pacific, believe it or not, that the Golden Knights do not have a winning record against. They've lost twice in overtime, 5 wins, 4 losses, 2 overtime losses to the LA Kings. So they're actually 5-6 in the regular season against this team.
Really?
Yes.
Stats, numbers.
Yeah.
You better win tonight.
I think they will.
This game you need to win. No Jonathan Marchessault, not great.
Yep. He's going to miss his fourth straight game.
Fourth game.
Fourth game in a row.
That was
the
second game. Jeez.
And Malcolm Subban will start tonight.
Okay, there you go.
I feel like that's...
We were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, I feel like that's... It's kind of the right spot. You play Columbus, then you get on the road for a couple games. Maybe you play Malcolm. I think it's Tuesday night against Buffalo. And then you have Fleury ready to go for a couple of those games on the home or on the road trip.
Yeah.
And then I think you finish against Boston, so you're going to want to have Fleury available for that game. But, yeah, should be a good one tonight. I think L.A. is going to come in wanting to beat these guys. They're a team that isn't very good, but their style is conducive to kind of making it ugly. And
yeah, I mean, you always, when you're playing the division leader.
Yeah, you always exactly. It, yeah. Now, Golden Knights have fallen the second in the division, actually, behind the Coyotes.
That happened last night?
Two nights ago, when they lost to Pittsburgh, the Coyotes leapfrogged them, which is actually probably a good thing. I will advocate, I don't think it's good if the Golden Knights win the division if only three teams from the Pacific make it, because then you're playing the wild card from the Central.
Yeah.
You don't want to be playing Winnipeg, Dallas, maybe Nashville.
No, you don't. That's a great
At
point.
Least not in the first round,
yeah.
Right? You'd rather play Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, maybe Arizona. But, you know, it's going to be interesting as we get down after the bye week. Things will really start to ramp up.
Well, definitely something to keep an eye on. Man, do we know anything about Marchessault? Upper or lower?
What lower, is lower body day-to-day. We thought he was going to go tonight. Maybe not.
When did it happen?
I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, this is now the sixth game of the homestand, so whenever, what was the second game? Anaheim, maybe? New Year's Day or New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Because I think he missed.
Anaheim the night before or two nights before or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thoughts out to Jonathan Marchessault. Marshy, get well soon, buddy. Can I have your gloves? It's for charity. Oh, poor Kyle Rudolph. Imagine dealing with that the week you're leading into one of the most important games of your career and you got swindled by some broke, half-ass media member. Sports world keeps turning. We'll be back in 24 hours to talk about it. We'll see you on the Mac Attack tomorrow, friends. I don't need the money just to say that I'm rich.